Good morning. Acts chapter 2.
Before I read to Mr. Ayah, I'm reading.
We read verses 37 up to 41.
So, myself, Mr. Ayah, I'm reading.
Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, ready to hear from you through your word. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built, until the earth is filled with your glory. Use us to speak your word and your word alone. Make me forget whatever does not glorify you, whatever is not true. Let me forget it, even if I had prepared it, O Lord. And let me preach only that which will give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we continue with our topic, our title, Steps of True Conversion, Part 2. Last week we looked at Part 1. And let me remind you of our sermon outline that has got three major parts. One, people's response to Peter's sermon. Two, Peter's response to people's question. And three, people's response to Peter's counsel. Last Sunday we looked at the three steps that lead to true conversion. And we say the first one is to be exposed to the gospel. And the second one is to have the cut off the heart. And the third step is to seek for help or to seek help. Today we are going to continue with other steps found in our second point. Which is Peter's response to people's question. We left it last Sunday with a question from the crowds that we find in at the end of verse 37. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And today we go to the answer to that question. Peter's response to that question has got also four sub-points. Number one, he advised them to repent. Number two, he advised them to be baptized. Number three, he advised them to save themselves from this perverse generation. And four, he gave the reason why they should do all the above. And we are beginning with the first sub-point. He advised them to repent. And this is where I'm going to spend much of my time, trying to explain the meaning of that word repent. And you're going to forgive me that I'd like to use some Greek words so that we understand this well. Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fourth step of true conversion is to repent. And what does that mean? Because these days I hear people say that they repented of their sins. That's why they are born again. In Luganda, you call it okwatula. Okwatule bibibyo. So that's what they believe, at least in this country, as I know. So when a preacher calls you in the front, he makes you repeat his words. Then at the end of that, he tells you, you are now born again. That's all. So for them, they know that they have repented. The repetition of that prayer. And that's why I was forced to use some Greek words to understand what this word means. This word, I don't know which word is there in the Luganda Bible, whether when Peter said repent, I don't know what they say, mwenenye, yeah, he says mwenenye. But in the Greek word here is metanoeo, which is, okay, you know metanoia, some of you might be knowing metanoia, is a noun which came from the verb metanoeo, which simply means to change one's mind, to stop or turn from what you've been doing, or what you wanted to do. So whenever you are just changing from what you wanted to do, that is to repent. And whenever Jesus said repent in the New Testament, he meant a change of heart towards sin and towards the world. An inner change that gives rise to new ways of living. That exalt Christ and give evidence of the truth of the gospel. Repent is a very important word in the Bible. It was the theme of John the Baptist's ministry. If you read Matthew chapter 3 verse 1, John began his ministry with those words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same word or theme was the okay. What was the theme of the ministry of Jesus Christ? In Matthew 4:17, Jesus begins his ministry with the same words. He also say like John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent remains the theme of the church. And this is the birth of the church where we are. The Holy Spirit is the one who came to seal the birth of the church. And when the apostles were asked the question, what should we do? They did not have any other answer. It was the same. We have to repent. In the Old Testament, the term repentance comes from the Hebrew word group. It's a Hebrew word group. Yes, that means to turn away from. Yes, even that Hebrew word group has got this, that meaning of turning away from something. And some people ask questions. Does repent mean to change your mind or to turn from sin? Which is which? Should I change my mind or should I turn from my sin? You need to remember that the Greek word metanoeo covers both of these. It means to turn away from sin by changing your mind or the way you think. Because if your thinking has been sinful, then when you change that mind, that thinking, then obviously you turn from sin. In the New Testament again, the word metanoia is often translated as repentance. But this kind of repentance is not about regret or guilt or shame. That's why last Sunday we said that you don't need to stop at the cut of the heart. You don't need to stop at the regret of your sins. Or even shame over your sins. You can still go to hell with the cut of the heart. So this word metanoia goes beyond the remorse or the regret over your sins. It implies making a decision to turn around and face a new direction. Let's take that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. First Thessalonians, Paul says this, chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. And how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. My attention goes to these words, how you turned to God from idols. You see that it was a U-turn. You've been taking this direction. Then say, no, This is the wrong direction. Kampala is not this way. I'm lost. So you take a U-turn and go back looking for the right direction. Then also, you don't stop at the change of the mind alone. There's also the change of the heart. The heart has to be changed, the mind has to be changed. And God had promised in the Old Testament that He would change the heart of His people. When you read Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19, He says that He would change their hearts and would remove their stony hearts and give them hearts of flesh that could be broken. There's also another Greek word, metamelomai, which simply means change of the course of life. So the whole of your life has to change. Not only your mind, not only your heart, but the whole of your life has to change. These are things that happen in repentance, in true repentance. And let me, because you know, we are going through the steps of true conversion. Repentance is one of those steps. But when we come to the word repent, how do you do it? How did you do it? And there's also confusion here that I want to rectify quickly. This would be another sermon on its own. It would be steps of true repentance. Yeah, because repentance itself is one of the steps of true conversion. But now, when you reach at that level of repentance, from that step you need to follow the steps of true repentance. So that if you did repent, it was the real one. And check whether you did a false repentance. So quickly, what are the steps of true repentance? Also, it begins with the cut of the heart. Yeah, so, okay. The word, sorry, because it's the word that brings the cut of the heart. After the being exposed to the word in any form, in any way, then the word brings the cut of the heart. The cut of the heart brings confession of sins. So confession of sin is under repentance. On the steps of true conversion, there's no confession because it is hidden inside repentance. Yeah, because you would be asking me, but Pastor, on your steps of true conversion, I did not hear confession of sins. It is there. Because when you reach the fourth level of repentance, so repentance now asks you to confess your sins. And there is a big difference between repent and confess. Confession, you do it with your mouth. Repentance, you do it with your deeds. With your whole life. So now, the churches in Uganda and all over the world are calling confession repentance. If only someone repeated that prayer, that's all. They have repented of their sins. That's not what it means. So now, after the cut, I'm now inside repentance. So that we understand what Peter was asking those people to do. He was not at all in any way asking them to repeat any prayer and say it's finished. Okay, now in the process of repentance, the Holy Spirit has brought all your sins and exposed them before you. And as I said last Sunday, He puts your sins on one side and the crushed Christ on the other side. So you see, I was crushed for you. I was left naked for you. And you see how you are sinning against Him. It is these two things that bring the guilt. And you feel inside you that, no, I cannot survive the wrath of God. What should I do? A preacher or a brother, a sister in the Lord helps you with what you should do. And after that, it is confession. You confess your sins in two ways. You confess before the Lord, then you confess before men. I'm going to explain that. There are many sins that you sinned against God and God alone. Even if you came to me, you did not sin it against me. For example, the sin of mentioning the Lord's name in vain. He says in His word that He does not like it. Every day you do it. You are watching Arsenal versus Man United. Oh my Lord, which Lord is that? The other one misses to score a goal. Oh Jesus! All those are sins that you are committing against Him. You are breaking His commands. So now, when the Spirit breaks your heart, He exposes those sins before you. You need to go to Him. And you begin with Him. Go inside your bedroom. You don't need any other person. You need God alone. Meet Him, face Him. Kneel down. Cry to Him in prayer. Confess all your sins. Tell Him. He hears. That is confession. Because you are speaking with your mouth. And Lord, I did this, forgive me. I did that, forgive me. Not penance. Penance is a wrong thing from Roman Catholicism. That you need to only go and confess your sins before the priest. And the priest, Kabona, and the priest is the one to forgive you of your sins. That's very totally wrong. You sinned against God. You go to Elder David to do what? You come to me to do what? Yes, Pastor, may God forgive me. I mentioned His name in vain. So that I do what? You did not mention Bill Isa in vain. Go to Him. The second side of confession is towards men. And this one is done face to face. Don't fear. By the way, when the Spirit of Christ enters the sinner's heart, one of the things that he removes immediately is shame. Shame over sins. You don't care. You no longer mind. I'll go and face him. Confess your sin face to face before him or her. Many people don't take it to men. They just go inside their room, cry there, say it's over. I don't believe it's over myself. Those sins that you sinned against God, yeah, it's over. But you need to go. You need to go to them. Why do you need to go to them? For two reasons. One,
it's over.
Because that you are using that as gospel itself, in itself. And two, so that you get your peace. Okay, if I've been cheating against my wife, I've been going to some place and I had some girl there. Now, I'm a new creature. How does she know? She doesn't. So, if tomorrow she found me somewhere in town, somewhere in this city, she'll have to come to me and again put her arm around my waist or my shoulder. You get my point? Because they are not gods, they don't know what has taken place inside me. So for you to totally end that, go to her. And when she sees you come, she will just come the way she does always. She wants to hug you and kiss you. Only to hear, no, please, first wait. And she's hearing that first wait for the very first time within 1 year or 2 years. You've been together for 2 years. And whenever you visit, she hugs you and kisses you. But today she's hearing first wait, and you put your hands like this, first wait for the first time. And she looks at you. You are not the same. And she asks you, what's wrong? What's the problem? Are you sick? What has annoyed you? What's the problem? Let's sit down. We need to talk. So, did you see how you are using your conversion even to reach out to others? If someone preached to you or taught you that if you prayed in your room with God, it's okay. Forget about the rest. Me, I'm telling you, no, don't. You sit down. Let them know. Henceforth, from today onward, our relationship will not continue. But why? I still love you. I love you so much. Forgive me. I'm now a new creature. Use even that chance to preach the gospel on how you reach to that level. I did this. I went here and I heard the word of God. Go with your Bible, open it before her, before him. Check what the Bible says. But because of these things, the wrath of God will be poured on people who walk in such ways. So you never see me here again. What I did with you in the past, I'll not do that again. I wasted your time, forgive me. Yes, so you are confessing. So we are still in the inside repentance. You are confessing your sins. After confession, yeah, the example I've just given you, it's an example for the next step of and after confession. Restitution. After confession, restitution. I repeat again. If you say that you prayed your prayers in your room, you told God of all your sins, it ends there. I mean, I'm telling you, no. What of that neighbor who borrowed you his money 3 months ago and you refused to pay back and is cursing you every day? Remember, you are now a new creature. You'd be going to church. You'd be preaching on the streets. What if he or she finds you there? Reason why you need to clear the way for your new life that you want to start walking in. Go to them. Go on your knees if you can and ask forgiveness. Tell them, I was in sin. I'm now in Christ. I'm sorry. I'm going to pay back your money. Give me this period of time. And look for that money. You have brothers and sisters who can help you. Clean your way. It was 100,000 shillings. I can give you 10,000. She can give you 20. And you can get the 100, you go and give them so that they are happy. Remember, they are still in the world. So your sorry alone is not enough to them. Give them their money back. So that even if they found you in church or anywhere praising your God, preaching, it will not be a problem to in their mind. You say you repented. How did you do it? But also, don't forget that as you are in that process of confessing your sins, you need to be as wise as serpents. Don't be just do things like a fool. Because remember, you are mending things. You are putting things. I mean, you want peace. You don't want to break, okay? Say, when you are still in your sinful life, you slept with a neighbor. She conceived and deceived the husband that was his pregnancy. And the baby is there. The kid is there. That guy is schooling and looking after. So, Pastor Bill, the other day preached about facing them. Facing them. So you go and call husband and wife, put them there, have something to tell you. These are not born again. I'm very sorry, I'm now a new creature. Hey, Brenda, come here. This child is mine. Don't do that. Because you will not bring peace, okay? you will not bring peace neither to the family, even to yourself. Because if that guy got a machete, a jambi, and chopped your head, they are not born again. Let the Spirit of Christ guide you and give you wisdom. You can, in such a scenario, you can just talk to the wife alone, confess your sins to her, and you tell God, forgive us. Leave the husband alone. That's my thinking. That's, people might be having how to do it better. I would like also to benefit from that. I'm not scripture, I'm not the Bible, so I don't know everything correctly. To my poor understanding, that's how I think it should be done. For the sake of peace. I think at that level, you've gone through all your steps of true repentance. The word of God, the cut of the heart, confession, restitution. You'll be okay. And where I've reached, this is the end of even the steps of true conversion. What follows down in our text is not part of this, these steps. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's not part of them. It's not. To be baptized is not part of true conversion or even true repentance. Peter simply advised them that after you have repented of your sins, then I advise you to be baptized, which serves as a sign that you are part of this other group. And I like what Brother John MacArthur says here. They say, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That for the remission of sins confuses. Especially the word for. Yeah, because it makes people think that baptism really is the one that removes sins. And Brother MacArthur say it should be because of. Yes, because of the remission of your sins. And I totally agree with him. You need to be baptized because your sins have been removed. And that's why we Baptists don't want to baptize someone who is not converted. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so Peter's response to people's question, one, he advised them to repent. Two, he advised them to be baptized. And the Greek word here, to be baptized, the Greek word here means to be dipped or to be immersed in water. To help those who had repented and who had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them identify through the waters of baptism to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, oh, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So forget about our brothers who try to defend the baptism of infants. Yeah, because you can talk to them, you can join their seminaries, and when they take you through Greek language, you say, oh yes, these guys are right. The Greek here, oh my friend, what can't be defended by men? What? I don't know it. I don't know what men cannot defend. And all of them using the same Greek language. A Reformed Baptist will try to prove to you that this baptism is really too deep in water to immerse. Those others will tell you, yes, we agree, but not necessarily, not on that alone. I ask myself many questions. What can't scholars defend? Go to, good enough, I attended a Pentecostal Bible school. When they teach you Greek language in those schools, they'll defend how women can be pastors using the original language, and you wonder. An SDA scholar will defend how we should be going to church on Saturday using Greek language. Then I tell people, if theory cannot help, let's use practice. Yeah, because according to my Greek here, people should be immersed and only immersed. And they should be mature. According to my friend's Greek, even infants can also be, what do you call what? Sprinkled. If we can't agree using theory, let's check the practice. Practically, my Lord himself was baptized when he was 30 years old. And it was by immersion. And I don't know any child of any believer in the Bible who was baptized. They'll bring you the passages of Cornelius' home and other homes that him and his household. And who told you that household needs to have a father, mother, and children? Who said so? Which English is that? Which house is dictionary is that? The day you were still single here, the day we marry you, that will be your household. You don't need to have your firstborn child in it. You can say, brother, Alex can say, me and my household will serve the Lord. If the rest of you feel you don't want, me and my household will. The word household does not mean that children were part of it. That's a very fake way of defending pedobaptism. Repent. If you are here and you've never repented, you need to think about it. Ask to God to have mercy on you and you repent. You come to RBC, it's okay? How is your lifestyle out there? Nothing has changed. Therefore, you have not repented. You might have confessed. I now leave the pleasures of the world. Let me now follow Christ. That is confession. So long as you spoke it with your mouth, that was a mere confession. It will be repentance when we see it with your life. If you're a child, what do your parents say about you? If you're a father or a mother, what do your children say about you? Your wife, your husband, what does he or she say about you? You want to be a born-again Christian only at RBC on Sundays? But when you are home, no. In your location, in your community, no. If we started moving into your communities and we go asking your neighbors without you knowing about you, do you think they will say that you are born again? Men and brethren, what should we do? You need to repent. Let your life change. Repentance has got three things you need. Change of mind. Change of heart. Change of course of life. Okay. When we talk of change of mind, whatever things you need to think of need to totally change. Your heart has to totally change. Your whole life. That's why if you tell me that you are born again and you still enjoy worldly music that has got sexual message in them, no, I put a question mark. I still tell you need to repent. You call yourself a born again and every day you watch pornography. You don't go to those places again. Because you fear, you never know, maybe Brother Marvin can be in the corner and sees me enter here. But you have smartphones in your hands. What do you do with that smartphone? Am I there with you? I'm not there. And freedom is yours. Continue. We are not prophets here that say, our pastor, the prophet, is going to see me. I don't mind. If I tell you last night at 2:05 a.m. you are watching pornography, hey, pastor, how did you know? I don't care. Check your life. You need to repent. You sit here, but you have not repented. You confessed and people were glad. But nothing changed in your life. If they say metamelomai is change in of the course of life. But you still have those friends. Your friends are still the same. Your TV programs are still the same. You still enjoy soaps. Yeah, you say you get their teachings and I laugh at you. Which lessons you get in soaps? Which ones? They teach you how to hate people. I hate you and I hate you. They teach you those. They teach you how to cheat on your husband or wife. I watch them more than you. I love them more than you. You still enjoy soaps. Sometimes you hide. No. If I washed, I put this soap here, and Pastor came out to visit me. What can he say? Therefore, let me go and visit my aunt who's not a Christian. I know she also likes these soaps. So, as we are chatting in the sitting room and we are watching it, even if Pastor came, he cannot blame me because this is not my TV. But you are deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving your pastor. Metamelomai is change of life, entire life. You need to get number of clothes and set them ablaze. You call them fashion, modernization. You dress on, exposing your chest, your back. Who needs to see them? No one is interested in your thighs. Get those clothes. Don't give them away out to other people. You cannot avoid drinking poison and give it to another person. Put them on fire. Christ is rich enough to give you clothes that will give you glory. Give him glory. Set them ablaze. You can't tell me that you repented and you still have them in your whatever you call them. Those clothes are still there. When you come to RBC on Sunday, no, you are smart in those long ones. But when you are going to visit Senga, the aunt, you put it on. Kundi show, exposing your navel. Back show. Over chest show. I don't know how we call this one. I don't know. You just have a rope that you tie here on your neck. It will strangle you one day. You need to repent. Amen. Father, we thank you. Forgive us. All of us need to repent. Let your spirit give us strength to repent. To make a U-turn and follow Christ. Let us hate the world with all its pleasures. Thank you for allowing our ears hear such words. Thank you, Lord. Give us courage to go and confess our sins with our neighbors and friends. Tell them we are sorry. Forgive us. We are new creatures. Save our lives, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.